If you were to do some research as to how the rainbow has been used symbolically by many different organizations, it would probably shock you at all the different ones. Possibly there are two that would stand out in your minds. If you are about my age, if you're about my age, you might remember that back in the 1980s, as my children refer to it, the olden days, that there was a political campaign known as the Rainbow Coalition, in which there was an effort made to bring people from many different cultures together in one political movement. That's not what the rainbow's about. It's not about a political movement. In more recent times, it seems that any time you talk about the rainbow or you see a rainbow, that what is being referenced is what has come to be known as LGBTQ, and I think there's some other letters that have been added since then. The rainbow has nothing to do with lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual, I believe the Q is queer, culture, other than maybe a few things that it'll make reference to today. You see the verse there? God says, I set my rainbow in the cloud. Guess whose rainbow it is? It's God's rainbow. And I am set on refusing to think of some political movement or some kind of lifestyle that is opposed to God, by the way, whenever I see a rainbow pictured. There are certainly some things within the Bible that a rainbow ought to stir up in our minds. We'll talk about those today. But it's not that. I find it interesting that it is that homosexual community that wants to use something that God created and God gave and belongs to God, when in Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 18, the Scripture says, and by the way, I'll say plainly, this is not what Paul Adams thinks, and this is not what the Church of Christ thinks. This is just what the Bible says. It says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. You notice He says there, the wrath of God is revealed. It says, professing to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. The wrath of God is revealed against those who suppress the truth, those who practice idolatry. Beginning at verse 24, it says, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Sometimes we have trouble speaking very plainly about these things, but you know, I can't speak any more plainly than what Paul does in writing Romans. When he says in verse 26, for this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. The Scripture is very, very plain about these things. And I find it just shocking that sometimes when we see the rainbow, we start thinking about things that God has clearly condemned. After I created this first PowerPoint slide and put on there reclaiming the rainbow, I found out that's actually a political movement too. It has nothing to do with that. But I do believe that from a Bible standpoint, I want us to reclaim the rainbow for what God said it was, and that we would, when we see one, whether it's in some kind of artistic design or we see one in the sky or whatever it is, that we would be reminded of what the Bible says about the rainbow, not about some immorality and not about some political movement, but that we would take the rainbow back. Let's talk about that today. When we think about reclaiming the rainbow, you know, it has all together to do with the fact that God said, when he saw how great the wickedness on the earth was and he was going to destroy the earth, and he created this flood that flooded up to the top of every mountain, God says, I want to destroy every living thing. That after God did that, he says, I'll never do that again. I will never destroy the earth with a flood again. And so when we see the rainbow up in the sky, that ought to remind us that we may see a lot of rain sometimes. We may get a flash flood warning. We may see a localized flood. But that rain is going to stop before it reaches up to the top of the mountains. When we read here in Genesis chapter 9, God says, thus I will establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. God says, I'll put this rainbow in the cloud, and when it rains, I'll remember, and you remember, that there will never be a worldwide flood again. I believe exactly what the Bible says, that in the days of Noah, that God saw how wicked man was. He decided to destroy the world. He did that with a flood. The skies opened up. We read about how the waters in the deep were broken up. And I believe there was a flood that destroyed the living creatures. We know Noah, thank you. Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives were saved. We'll talk about that before we're done. But when I see a rainbow, it ought to remind us, it ought to cause us to think about something. But it's not an immorality and it's not a political movement. But instead, we ought to realize that God will never again destroy the earth. We realize that there is a God and that he made a promise and that God honors that. When I think about the rainbow and we see a rainbow, maybe we'd be caused to think about how gracious God is. When God saw how wicked the whole earth was, remember when we studied recently in our Bible class that when he was going to destroy the city of Sodom and he was sending those angels, that Abraham negotiated for those cities? How many righteous people would God be able to see in a wicked city? Well, what about in the whole world? How many righteous people would God see in the entire world? If there were only 8, would God see them? What we read about in Genesis chapter 6, beginning at verse 5, then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. God saw that the creation, you know, the creation, when he created
Oh, he said, it's very good.
Very good. Now God's sorry that he's made this creation. When we look there in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, we read, though, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is impressive to me. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Have you ever had an old car? What we call a junker. And you look at it and you say, you know what? I'm not going to put any more into that. It's time for it to go. The problems that it has outweigh any good. And so you take it down to the salvage yard and you get rid of it. God saw how wicked the earth had become, and it was terrible. But in the midst of all that terribleness, God could see the value and the good. He could see a good person like Noah. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And it was to Noah that God said, this is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. God is so gracious that in that wickedness, that he chose to save Noah and his wife, Noah's sons and their wives. God chose to save the righteous and not destroy the wicked. Isn't that what Robert read for us? In the writing of Peter there. That God doesn't destroy the righteous with the wicked. That he knows how to save the righteous. That God is gracious. So when I see a rainbow, I might be reminded when I think about that, oh, that reminds me back in the days of Noah, that man was so wicked, but that God could see the righteous. And you might look around today and he might see that the world is very wicked, but that God would save the righteous. What else might the rainbow remind you of? The rainbow reminds me that God's in control. That as he spoke things into existence, and we read there about how he created the heavens and the earth, and he said, let there be light, and there was light. And he created a system by where the green things could grow, where animals and plant life could be sustained. That God did all of that. When we think about that, we read in Genesis 1 and verse 1, the very first thing we read in our Bibles is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created it. He made it. Everything that we see, God made. And what we read about also when that flood came was that it wasn't just some happen chance terrible storm. But it says in the 600th year, this is in Genesis 7 verses 11 and 12, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. It wasn't just some terrible thing, some terrible storm that happened. This is what God had promised, and this is what God had done. When God saw the wickedness of man was so great on the earth that he wanted to destroy it, and that he was going to bring about a flood, God was in control of that. He could cause that to happen. We read there in verse 23 of that same chapter of Genesis 7, where it says, so he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping thing and bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. God was in control. Noah, those in the ark remained alive. The things on the earth were destroyed. God is in control. He caused that to happen. And when I think about that in Genesis chapter 8, it says, then God remembered Noah This is verses 1 and 2. And every living thing, and all the animals that were with him in the ark, and God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the water subsided, and the fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were also stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. God says it's enough. He's in control. He did it. When I see that rainbow, why would it be that there's never going to be a worldwide flood again? If it happened once, why couldn't it happen again? Well, simply because God said so. And He made a promise. And He's in control. And He can control whether there's a worldwide flood or not. And in those verses, in chapter 9, verses 13 through 15, God says, I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth. Look what He says. When I bring a cloud over the earth, that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all the flesh, and the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. God can make that happen. He can make it flood, and He can say it'll never happen again. I guess today, I looked at the weather this morning, and it said that there was a small chance of a storm today. I would have loved for them to say, we're going to have a rain shower, and about 11:45, that the sun's going to come out, and there will probably be a beautiful rainbow, but to remind us of that. But when I see that, and I see the beautiful rainbow, I think about, and we ought to think about, that God controls all of that. God is in control of nature. It's not just about colors. You've heard of, what is it? Is it, I look at Hannah because I think she'll know. Is it Roy G. Biv? You know what Roy G. Biv is? Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. The colors of the rainbow. It's not just about colors. It's about God's promise and realizing that when God makes a promise, He is powerful enough to keep whatever that promise is. I have probably told my children, I'll never let anything bad happen to you. But you know what? That might not be within my power for all of their lives. It might not be within my power to protect them from every evil thing in this world. But guess what? God is in control. And God, when He says this is the way it's going to be, this is the way it is. When you see a rainbow, what else could you think of? I would tell you that God remembers His promises. God remembers for a long time. When we look at the timing of the flood shortly after creation, I don't believe the evolutionist when he says billions and billions of years ago, but thousands of years ago. How good is your memory? How long do you remember things? Did any of you wake up this morning and say, oh no, it's Father's Day, I forgot? Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. God made a promise way back there in the times of Noah. And God still remembers today. There still is the rainbow in the cloud. And there is still the promise of God that there will not be a worldwide flood. When we look at that, you might look at Genesis 9, verses 16 and 17. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant. When does God remember? Every time there's a rainbow, God remembers the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that's on the earth. And God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth, you and I. God has a promise to us. He's not going to destroy the world with water again. Notice carefully, it might be worth noting, I didn't say God won't destroy the world at all. God won't flood the earth. Let's look at one more. We see the beautiful rainbow. And there are some who take that for their own purposes and things that they ought not. But I remember that there will never be a flood again to destroy the earth. And God is gracious and God is in control. And God remembers for a long time. And God keeps His promises. So if we put the flood maybe somewhere in the neighborhood of 2500 BC, I'm just approximating. So 1,000 years later, did God forget about it and let the earth flood again? Just before Christ came, did God allow this flood to flood over every mountain and to kill everyone except for a few? How about in our lifetimes or in our history books? God keeps His promises. I thought about Psalm 29:10, where it says, "The Lord sat enthroned at the flood." He was king. He was Lord. And it says, "And the Lord sits as king forever." At the flood, He was there. He was in control. He was making promises, and He can keep those promises. I'll make a side point about this. There are those who take certain immoral activities, and they want to use the rainbow as their symbol. There is no greater irony that I know of. To take something that God is opposed to, and something that is against nature, and something that God views as an abomination, and that God has promised to punish, and to make the rainbow your symbol, when if anything, the rainbow is a symbol that God keeps His promises. It was read for 2 Peter chapter 2. "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly." Let me ask you this. When God says, "I'm sick of this, this world is so wicked, I'm going to destroy it," did He? He promised He would, and He did it. And when God said, "There are some righteous people, there's just a little more than a handful, but I'm going to save that preacher of righteousness, Noah, and I'm going to save his family," did God do it? And when God said after that flood, "I will never again flood this earth like that, where all creation is destroyed," did God keep that promise? So when I see the rainbow, maybe I could be reminded that God does keep His promises. There in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, the Scripture says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of that is in the world through lust." Think about this. You see the rainbow. Say, God kept His promise back then. He destroyed the world. He saved Noah. He said He'd never do it again. God never did it again. God keeps His promise. Today, He says, those who will obey the gospel
and they'll be faithful to me. I'll save them. Does God keep His promise? God keeps His promises. And when God says that there, when there are those who refuse to obey the gospel and those who will not live faithfully to me, will God bring about everlasting punishment on those? Our God is a God who keeps His promises. I'd like for you to think about those things. When you see a rainbow, don't think about politics. Don't think about social movements. Don't think about those immoralities that we discussed. But you might remember, you know, we may have a big rain. And we could even have a flood, a localized flood. But God's not going to destroy the world with water. And that God is gracious. He sees the righteous, even in the midst of a lot of wickedness. And God has the ability to control those things. He is powerful enough to do that. And God remembers. He remembers for a long time. And God keeps His promises. As you think about that, that sort of naturally brings us to an invitation. If you never obeyed the gospel, would you think about the promises of God? And wouldn't you like to partake of those precious promises that God has for you? Would you turn away from sin and be baptized into Christ so that you can have the hope of eternal life? If you're not faithful to God, if you refuse to obey the gospel, or you refuse to be obedient, you refuse to be faithful to Him, would you remember that God keeps His promises? I invite you to think about the rainbow. The rainbow reminds us of so many things. It reminds God of His covenant, but there are so many lessons we can learn today. If we can help you to be faithful to God, to be restored to faithfulness, we'll do that right now as we'll stand and sing the song.